This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Zach Wolchuk rocking with us for the next 3 days as Corey is hanging out with his kiddos and doing fun stuff for spring break. Don't forget, in about 20 minutes, we got ESPN MLB Insider Buster Olney coming up. But right now, it's time for Wanker of the Weekend. And I know technically it happened today, but I'm going to nominate myself for... that really terrible Platinum Chevrolet ad that I just did. I want to let everybody know that I really do love Platinum Chevy. My family really has bought four cars from them in the last 5 years. PlatinumChevyTexas.com. But I got caught up looking at whatever this pawn show is. I'm assuming it's Hardcore Pawn because that's what it says the next episode is as well. Lex Luger showed up at the pawn shop with a wrestling robe that he was selling. And I got caught up and looked over that for just a second and kind of forgot where I was. And then I stumbled over the rest of my Platinum Chevy ad. I apologize. They're great, but I would like to nominate myself for that. And also, why is this pawn show always on in the morning on the Q Network? Or maybe that's what it's called. I'm really not sure.
I wonder if this is what is on when like is this the Mavs channel? Is this 29 or maybe it's CW33?
Okay.
Like, what was somebody watching the Mavs or was somebody watching the Rangers yesterday because they had the Victory Plus game streaming?
Okay.
Like, that would be the only thing that makes sense to me.
It feels like this pawn show is on a lot, and keep in mind I can't hear the sound, but it feels like these people who work at this pawn shop or whatever are getting yelled at a lot.
Oh, there's a lot of screaming, and it looks very hectic. I think I would probably leave this place if I were ever in attendance.
Yeah.
This looks very stressful to me.
Yeah, and I it makes me kind of want to watch it more, but I still never have. But I saw Lex Luger. I got distracted for the commercial.
Saying Luther or Luger?
Luger.
Okay.
That's her. I know this Superman person is Luther, but Lex Luger is a wrestler. He took his last name after the like the Luger pistol. Now that person's being dragged out of the pawn shop.
Yeah, oh no. Just... it is channel 29, by the way.
Okay.
There we go.
All right.
Thank you.
That helps. Alec, can you fire up a little bit of cut 15? Because I feel like we need to talk about this story for Wanker of the Weekend. The band Disturbed and their pyro has burned, perhaps singed, all six of the Bulls championship banners.
Oh no.
Now, they did a concert at the United Center and said, quote, "The United Center is currently working with the Bulls to explore options to repair these banners. While these banners will not be in place for the remainder of the season, we do anticipate them being back next season. And of course, we probably should have had eight, but Michael Jordan got kicked out of the NBA for 2 years." Now, that's not included in the statement, but you feel like that's what they wanted to say. But yes, Disturbed, who good for them for still playing the United Center. I'm impressed by that. Their pyro made some minor damage to the Bulls championship banners. Do you think that the band is on the hook for that? Or do you think the facility, I don't know, should have rolled them up or something? Because we got big time pyro happening at our show.
Is that something that's forgivable? Like, is that one that's like, okay, this is an understandable oversight? We have a lot of concerts. Not everybody's using the pyro flames and all this. So we're not really ever having to think about, okay, how the banners, and is there a possibility of them catching on fire? And I mean, like, when second thought, it's like, come on, guys, you should have a plan for this. But I don't think every concert they're having there is using the same kind of... I'm on the band. You know, screw this. The band needs to know we cannot be setting things on fire when you are in a stadium that has banners that are hanging from the rafters.
Sounds to me like you need a new facilities manager. Could you imagine unfurling or pulling a banner back up and never having practiced it? Like, what if when they put all these championship banners back down, you roll them all out and there's a huge crease or wrinkle in all of them because you didn't practice it ahead of time?
Well, there was, the Rangers got made fun of because of the wrinkles on their banner, right? Is that where you're going with it?
Yes.
You're going with the wrinkles?
Yes.
I mean, heck, we can't even make sure that we are unveiling these properly. Sometimes they're upside down. I think once we've got them finally revealed, we're leaving them as is.
And the season's not over for a month. How long does it take to fix minor damage to a banner? Now, I know the answer is clearly more than a month because they said it's not going to be back this season. But are we lollygagging?
Sounds like a skill issue to me. And, you know, I don't blame the band here. You know why? Because they played the Target Center before that. They didn't have any issues, you know.
Well.
So there's no banners out there.
They didn't get to,
Medford, touche.
Did they not get to have the Minneapolis Lakers banners up there?
I mean.
No, they took them with them.
Did they make banners back then?
That's a good point.
Who even knows?
Nobody knows.
Ooh, Disturbed's going to be at Dickies Arena here in a few weeks.
Hey, let's get those banners lifted up.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, City of Fort Worth, come on.
Now everybody's going to be looking at their banners and thinking, crap.
From the
what are we going to do?
From the 469, Kevin's feeling spicy today. All right, look, I've apologized to everybody. Carter, I want to apologize to you as well. I feel disorganized today because I just got sick of the Apple computer that my wife has and I was using last night because I broke my computer. Actually, Noah broke our computer, but
oh, whatever. Yeah, blame it the child.
Because...
Can't even read.
He can't. He's getting better at that, though.
So rude.
Give us another year. We'll be there. All right. Is Trey Donaldson, the Michigan guard, a wanker of the weekend for... So he spit his gum out mid-play during the Big Ten championship game. All right. So one would think, hey, somebody will scoop it up, whatever. He decided in that moment he did the right thing, the polite thing, and he went and picked up the gum. However, while he went to go pick up the gum, the guy that he was guarding was left wide open and he got an easy bucket because the guy picked up the gum and, well, it was an easy drive to the bucket and then he got fouled. But you get the point.
Uh-huh.
Is he the wanker of the weekend for A, spitting out his gum on the court, or B, going to pick it up in the middle of a play?
I think it would just be the spitting out part. I think once you've done that, now you're realizing, crap, I need to pick this up. This is not acceptable.
Okay. That makes sense.
Just don't spit.
There you go. It's like he knew.
Or just swallow it.
You're not supposed to swallow gum. It stays in your system for 7 years.
Is that true? What? I thought this was like...
I have no idea.
Okay, the watermelon seeds, like that Rugrats episode where they eat the black seed and now they've got a watermelon growing in their belly. I thought that was a myth.
I'm sure it is.
It scarred me as a kid.
Me too. I was like, I'm never going to swallow the black seed of the watermelon.
All right, so that was off air. Don't you dare react to that. All right. So that's the thing where I know people will jump in and say, hey, you know Google exists. I understand, but I just never looked it up. I probably should have. Even now, while we're talking about gum staying in your system for 7 years, I'm not going to Google and typing, does gum really stay in your system for 7 years? So don't know. Probably never know.
It won't?
No, I didn't Google it.
Oh, well, then I'm going to Google it.
I just refuse to.
I'll Google it.
All right, let's stick with college.
I'm not scared.
Okay, I am scared.
I'll Google a lot of things.
I've heard. So that's why they had to send you here for a few days.
I'm on probation.
The G-Bag Nation needed a, quote, cooling off period. And so Zach Wolchuk is with us for the next 3 days.
Got really ticked off.
All right, so let's stick with college basketball.
Diapers for men.
The Conference USA, the championship game was marred between Jacksonville State and Liberty because there was a leak in the ceiling of the roof. It led to a 66-minute delay. How many people who weren't related to people in that game stayed for that 66 minutes? And they're like, I gotta see the rest of this game.
They're
making
it
to the tournament. I get it.
Yeah, maybe 10 super fans.
Okay. But that's it. And then yeah. everyone else is
relatives or girlfriends and best friends.
How long are you waiting? 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
30 minutes.
Okay.
I think 30 minutes is fair.
And then you're like,
I'm at. Unless I just like really have a devotion. Like I'm committed here. Maybe we're from out of town. We've made plans. We really just want to see our school play.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you said your school play, because the way you sounded at first made it sound like your trip was to just go see the Conference USA final, even though you had no vested interest in any one of the teams. They're like, yeah, we do Conference USA every year.
In the Nazi arena.
What?
Yeah, did you not know this? I saw this story yesterday.
The Nazi arena? What does that mean?
Conference USA played their tournament in an arena that is named after a former Nazi.
It is?
The Von Braun Center is named after a former Nazi scientist.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Now the leak in the roof doesn't seem so bad.
No.
That feels like a far bigger problem. Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious. There's a whole article about this, and I guess that this was the United States during World War II. We stole some of the brilliant minds, yeah, if you will, and he was one. So he got his start in Nazi Germany. The German army caught wind of a budding rocket scientist at the Berlin Institute of Technology. They recruited him to join them. He continued his guided missile work for the Nazi regime throughout the war, met with Hitler more than once. In fact, he was formally decorated by the Führer on two separate occasions.
What?
Included being awarded the Iron Cross. And Conference USA played their game in an arena that is named after this dude, Wernher von Braun.
He might have helped found NASA, or he did,
yes,
help. What the, yeah, hell?
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh. Yeah. This opened in 1975. I believe he passed in 77.
So we gave him a pass on all the Nazi stuff because he could help us get to the moon faster than the Russians?
Hey, as long as we can beat the Soviets, you know, we'll just kind of look the other way.
I'm sorry. I know we have other content to get to.
It was a jarring,
this is kind of blowing my mind,
revelation.
Here.
I didn't know about this either, but when I saw it yesterday, and of course it does hit a little close to home. I was like,
that?
Damn, can we, well, yeah, I did have some relatives that didn't survive the concentration camps. Yeah.
My goodness. There's no way I would have thought the discussion about Conference USA.
I know.
It took
a turn. You never know where you're going to go on a Monday.
I'm sorry,
in the KNZ masterpiece.
That
with
is
a little
worst.
Medford.
Hey, so let's somehow try to pivot back to
Can
the
Can we
Cowboys.
Get positive?
Yes.
Hey, my daughter had chocolate shake for the first time this weekend.
Did she love it?
She did. She loved it. And she gave it a little chocolate shake mustache and everything. It was freaking adorable, dude.
That is adorable.
It did look like a Hitler shaft.
Shut up!
Just to bring it back.
That is not what I was going to say,
I knew what you were thinking. And honestly, when I posted the video, I thought to myself, somebody's going to make a comment that my daughter has a Hitler stash of the chocolate milkshake right now. And I thought about taking it down. And now that we're talking about it, maybe I'm the wanker of the weekend.
It was because you were staring at me. And then I thought, oh, I get where this is going.
Yeah.
God darn it. Hey. Let's talk about Drew Pearson real quick.
Drew?
Drew Pearson is the best.
He is.
But he also decided to talk to TMZ Sports and weigh in on what's happening with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah and everything like that. And he said, take care of your business on the field. The other guys will follow suit. Get off of Twitter. Is there any chance that these players will listen or that they know and care about who Drew Pearson is?
There's no chance they're going to listen. I do think some do care and know about Drew Pearson. I think there are a lot of players that really do love. I mean, we've seen this in baseball, right? The history of the sport. I think there are a few. There are some, like when we asked Tyler Guyton who his favorite Cowboy of all time was, and he couldn't come up with a single name. Some just like to play the sport.
Okay. Okay. By the way, we need clarification on this because this is factually inaccurate. From the 469, Kevin once said Hitler was better than him during Are You Better? I was going to say false and fake. And
what
that
were
almost,
you going to say?
I was going to say false and fake, and that almost led to a problem. Fake, fake, fake.
You and Bryce Mitchell, man.
That was Jeff Kavanaugh who debated about whether Hitler could have been better than him, because I remember I was covering something for the newspaper at the time when we were part-time and doing weekend stuff. I was in the car. I was listening to the segment, and Kavanaugh said something to the effect of, or that's a thinker, or something like that, that you're like, no, it's not. And I think eventually he came to the conclusion that he was better than Hitler, but it just took way too long to get to that conclusion. That was not me, and Kavanaugh said he was better than Hitler.
Wow. Damn it, Jeff. Dang it.
With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with ESPN MLB insider Buster Olney, unless he was listening to the last segment, in which case we're going to have to figure out something different next on The Fan. KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Hoping to talk with MLB insider Buster Olney in just a few minutes. But I had another question for you guys real quick, and it was based off of something that happened in college basketball and people making fun of folks and everything, and I thought it was an interesting topic. What's the part of life that you just don't trust technology to take care of? So I think it was Ian Eagle was making fun of Bill Raftery because he still prints out all of his boarding passes. And so I haven't done that in a while.
Gavin Dawson does it every trip.
Does he really?
Every trip. He has not downloaded the app. I don't know. Eric Chiafalo, I think, used to do this as well for a while. But I know Dawson has to print out the boarding pass every time we go on, you know, to the Super Bowl, spring training, to Oxnard. He's still doing that.
Does he not want to download the app? Is he worried that it will not be there key time?
He's locked out. I think that he had it, and then now it's with an old email that he no longer has access to, and he has not wanted to deal with the ring around BS to get this thing reset.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So my question for you, for Alec, for our audience, is there something that you don't trust technology to take care of just yet? Because when I asked my wife about this, she immediately said, it's you with your alarm clock. So I still have like an actual alarm clock that I will, you know, the musical pop on and I'll turn it off and everything like that.
You lean over with the arm and just hit
it. Yes. I absolutely still do that. And I know most of the world probably has an alarm, does their alarm on their phone or whatever else the case might be. But is there something like that for you guys? 877-881-1053. Because the alarm clock, I think, is what it is for me. And I don't know why.
I really am using technology, I think, for everything now.
Thanks for participating.
I'm going to think about
this. Luckily for you,
I'm going to brainstorm.
Right now, we bring on MLB insider Buster Olney. Good morning, sir.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, there's a lot of excitement around here for the Texas Rangers, but I have to admit, I have become somewhat concerned over the last week or so, and now you add in injuries to John Gray, further complications with Cody Bradford. What is the proper concern level for the rotation at the start of the year?
Well, I think given especially where we've seen injuries in baseball in recent years, I think for the Rangers at this point, probably a 6 or a 7 would be the level of concern. You know, if all things go right with the guys that they have, they'll be fine. I think in the end, but you know, Jacob DeGrom's injury history is his injury history, and Nathan Eovaldi's injury history is what it is, and you just hope that they're able to hold together. Now, I would say this, you know, I think from the Rangers' perspective, playing in the American League West, the bar is not as high as it's been in the past. You'd be especially concerned about these injuries if they were playing in the American League East or if they're playing in the National League East. But they're playing in the National League West, or the American League West, which is, I think you guys would agree with me, it's kind of taken a step down in recent years with the Astros going from a dominant presence to a, you know, a team that, you know, probably and it is best would win 90 games.
For sure. Buster, when it comes to lighter and rocker, I think those would be two that easily Ranger fans would just assume, hey, if you don't have Bradford, you don't have Gray, these two are ready to slide right in there and fill the back end of that rotation. How much patience do you still give those two pitchers who have had kind of up and down journeys here since being drafted?
Well, a couple things. First off, I'm biased because I went to Vanderbilt, and those two guys are, you know, made any alum proud. So I believe, having watched them in college, they believe that they're going to figure it out. It's been neat to see Leiter's velocity take such a significant jump in the last year. You do hope that his command gets better. I think the numbers are something like 9 walks in 15 innings this spring or 8 walks in 15 innings. You know, that has to get better. But a year ago, I think the question that I was hearing from folks around baseball was, does he have enough in terms of weapons? Well, he does now. Right? He always had the pedigree to pitch, but if he's throwing harder, then he's going to have more margin for error with his stuff. You just hope that he learns to command it better as time goes on. And those are two pretty damn good options. You know, you're not talking about, you know, guys who are low ceiling journeyman bouncing around type guys. You're talking about guys that if they're right, they could become weapons.
Now, the big news that's going to be happening, I want to say tomorrow in the morning, is the Tokyo series. We've talked a lot about some of the buzz that this has picked up. Do you feel a lot of buzz going into this Tokyo series? And then we can dive into the Mookie Betts illness.
Yeah, no question about it. Look, you know, there's a lot of debate among baseball fans about, you know, are the Dodgers the new evil empire? The fact is, that they're a team that everyone's going to pay attention to. There might be complaining about where they've taken their payroll, and in the end, at the end of the year, because of this amazing traveling circus they put together of great stars, they're going to lead the majors in road attendance. And so, yeah, there is buzz for this game tomorrow. You know, to play a traditional franchise like the Chicago Cubs, I think there's going to be a lot of response to that. It's kind of a fun bar, you know, conversation now about, you know, who has the best chance of beating the Dodgers, because there's no question on paper, you know, they look like they're the team to beat. They could become the first team since those 98 to 2000 Yankees, you know, to win back-to-back World Series. And it's going to take a lot for somebody to unseat them. So I think everyone will be paying attention when that game starts tomorrow.
Do you think there's anywhere in all of Tokyo or maybe Japan that Shohei Ohtani could just go walk around without being mobbed by
people? No chance. No chance. First off, you know, you know, if you guys have been up close to him, he's so big. I mean, right from the get-go, he just stands out at 6'5", you know, 6'6", and 230 pounds. But he's just bigger than life there. He's bigger than life here in some ways. You know, there's a real conversation, I think, to be had about whether or not he's the greatest baseball player ever. I think he is. When you're talking about somebody doing all of that, being that dominant as a hitter, and then to be that good as a pitcher all at once, it's crazy. So, you know, he's getting the sort of attention that, you know, over there, the way Michael Jordan did over here back when he was in his heyday.
And I know the anticipation level is still high, but got to be some disappointment with Mookie Betts missing the series with an illness. And do you know anything more about that? Because when I heard he lost 15 pounds, that feels pretty shocking.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the video of him walking off the field yesterday after going through a truncated workout. I mean, he looked terrible. He just looked really sickly, and those 15 pounds really showed. I don't know exactly what the nature of the illness is. What Dave Roberts has told reporters is that he had this bug when he got on the plane going to Tokyo, which I'm sure to some degree might have the Dodgers, sort of crossing your fingers and hoping that it's not a what's referred to in baseball as a clubhouse crud being passed around among other players. But it does say a lot about, you know, how significant this is that, you know, in advance, well in advance of the start of game one of the season, you know, they're telling us Mookie Betts is not going to be available for this entire series. So he's hurting.
Buster only with us here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, Buster, when it comes to, you mentioned the evil empire that are the Dodgers, the salary cap in Major League Baseball has been floated out there. Do you envision a salary cap actually being put in place in Major League Baseball?
So for the first time since I started covering baseball, the answer is yes. Because for years, the Players Association has, their response to that has always been, we will never agree to a salary cap or any kind of restriction on salaries as a point of principle. I will tell you that I think there's more sentiment among the rank and file players to at least discuss the idea of more money for more players, which, you know, if the salary cap system, the way MLB is going to sell it to the players is, look, you get a bigger share of the pie, more money for more players, and on top of that, more competitive balance. You know, I think the Dodgers, it's not only fans, I think, who are upset about, you know, the fact that the Dodgers are so loaded. There are some players now even, and I can't use the player's name, but I heard a story about a longtime big leaguer. Once he heard the news about Roki Sasaki picking the Dodgers, the player's response was he was golfing with a mutual friend, and he, you know, his response was, what's the point?
Wow.
Like, if the Dodgers are going to get that many great players and separate themselves, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I do think there's going to be some sentiment among the players. Hey, let's see if there's a system that has more competitive balance. I think the union is weaker than I've ever seen it. And I started covering baseball in 1989. I think it's ripe for a change like this. And I think there are enough small market owners that are going to use the Dodgers. We're already seeing it with it, like the owner of the Rockies the other day, basically coming out and using the Dodgers as an example of why a salary cap is needed.
Wow. So you mentioned Roki Sasaki. For people who haven't had a chance to see any of him in spring training, what should they expect when he takes the hill on Wednesday morning?
Arguably the best pitch in baseball, okay? I can't remember who it was. I had a conversation. Oh, no, Tim Kirchin, you know, who you guys know well.
Yeah.
He works with us. He used to cover the Rangers back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, okay, Tim, what's your view of what the best pitch in baseball history is? And he said, Nolan Ryan's fastball. But in that conversation is Roki Sasaki's split-fingered fastball. People just marvel at this thing, which drops so quickly and is thrown so hard that, you know, there's already a conversation, I know, among people who know pitching about whether or not right now that's the best pitch in baseball. And the guy hasn't thrown a pitch in the major leagues. You know, that's how good he is. 23 years old, absolutely dominant stuff. I can't wait to see him in an actual game to see how that split-finger fastball translates, you know, along with, his 100 to 101 mile-an-hour fastball. It's going to be dynamic.
Sticking with pitching, I think one of the big concerns we've got with our Rangers is the closer. They don't really have anybody that is solidified as a closer. You've mentioned how long you've been covering the sport. Are we overrating that as a fan base, being so concerned going into the season? Is that something that will just easily figure itself out?
Yes, in March. And shoot, you know, 2 years ago we had a great example of it. Who thought Josh Forsberg by the end of the postseason would be one of the most dynamic relievers in the sport? You know, there's time for that. Especially, you know, I'll really date myself here. I played in a rec league basketball with Bruce Bochy back in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
And I can tell you, next time you have him on, you know, tell him, and I saw this, I witnessed this, because you're figuring he probably, as a basketball player, his best part of his game was like being a banger inside. No, he had like a sweet 12 to 15 foot jumper. But Bruce Bochy knows pitching so well that, you know, over the course of the year, he'll figure it out, right? And Chris Young is aggressive enough, and if the Rangers are in contention, maybe they're the team that goes trades for Ryan Helsley, you know, the great closer for the Cardinals. Almost certainly is going to be traded this year. There's plenty of time to figure out the closer thing. If you had a, you know, an issue at shortstop, you had an issue at second base, you had an issue at, you know, number one in your rotation, those would be big concerns. Having a closer situation sort of be in a state of flux in March, not a big deal.
Now, I wanted to just get your thoughts about a former Texas Ranger who has had a kind of a shocking fall. This is somebody who I think a lot of Rangers fans wanted to build the franchise around several years ago, but Joey Gallo being released from the White Sox and saying he's going to become a pitcher. Where are we going with this?
Well, it tells you the trajectory of where he is as a hitter, that he's entertaining this. And if he, you know, just publicly, you know, came out with that yesterday, you know, he's been thinking about it probably not even for months, but for years. You know, you hope that it works out. He's a great athlete. You know, the best, most important factor of being a pitcher is being able to repeat your delivery. You can't do that unless you're a great athlete. So you hope that it works out. But I'm sure that there'd be people skeptical that he can make that sort of transition. If he's willing to put in the work, shoot, we've seen guys like Rick Ankiel make a similar transition, and hopefully it does that for Joey.
And appreciate all of the insight that you've brought us. Believe it or not, we're about to start the season tomorrow morning. Then there'll be a little bit of a break, and
Woo-hoo!
Then the rest of the season.
Let's go.
We'll go. Thank you very much for the time and info, good sir.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Buster Olney right here on 105.3 The Fan. And look, he told us a lot of information.
Yeah.
But the number one thing I'm going to remember forever is that apparently Bruce Bochy has a sweet 12 to 15 foot jumper that he can throw out on you.
I'm so happy that he told us that, especially on this show, because now you can ask Boch about that once you start doing your weekly manager interviews.
Absolutely. By the way, we were having this conversation. I'm going to pick it up a little bit more with Dawson, and I want to know more about printing out the boarding pass, but multiple people from the 817. I do not trust food apps. I'd rather just go to the establishment and order my food on the spot. From the 903, grocery pickup. I can't just trust someone else to pick out my groceries for me. From the 469, the keypad outside of a garage door. I will not have one. I could see how that would make people a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I've done the grocery pickup thing. I think you're onto something with the food apps, though, because I think sometimes it can be cheaper. They're overcharging on, like, the DoorDashes, the Uber Eats. Like, even if you order it for pickup, if you call the establishment, and I might be totally off base about this, but I think that they're upcharging on some items.
I do not think you're wrong about that whatsoever. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we do a little Gridiron Gravy right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy. And we're going to start with, as we all predicted, Derek Stingley got all of the money.
All of it.
All of it. So, looks like a 3-year deal worth about $90 million with Pro Football Talk is reporting $89 million guaranteed. And at that point, what's the last million?
It's just, you know, hey, Houston,
throw it in the pile.
You want to feel good about saving that $1 million?
Yeah.
I'm David Mulligetta. You got me.
They're like, hey,
you got me.
Last time we did this was a disaster. So let us not guarantee this $1 million.
You just save the $1 million. We might need to use that.
But all jokes aside, what do you think about the monetary value? Now we're talking about $30 million per year.
I do think when you see the wide receiver salaries going up and up and up and up.
Makes sense.
There's few good corners. There's not as many good corners in the league as there are good receivers. I thought eventually it would catch up to one another, right? The cornerback market it was like a $20 million gap from what we were seeing with Jamar Chase just got. You're at $40 million a year for the highest paid receiver. You were at $20 million a year for the highest paid corner. So now you got $25 million for J.C. Horn.
Yeah.
But a $30 million jump for Derek Stingley. So in the matter of a week, we have now jumped $10 million in the cornerback market.
Now, I understand the local concern could be how does this impact the potential extension for Deron Bland. I will give the Cowboys a pass on that. I did not envision any kind of jump like this for cornerback. The one that still is frustrating is for Micah Parsons, because you're like, okay, you're at a position where it continually has gone up pretty consistently, whereas the cornerback feels like a little bit more of a jump than I anticipated.
And Micah's agent is the one who has done both of these deals.
Well, there David you Mulligetta. Go.
J.C. Horn gets $25 million, and here you go, Derek Stingley, $30 million. I think Jalen Ramsey is the third highest paid corner, also David Mulligetta's client.
Is there any chance we can go to Mulligetta and be like, hey, do you remember that one time when Mike Parsons said, I'd rather get paid $35 million than getting paid $40 million and getting double teamed on every play? Is there any chance we could remind him of that quote? Or do you think now he's going to be like, no, the 35 is now 40 and the 40 is now 45?
Mm-hmm. I think absolutely Jerry and Steven should remind him of that. But I think what he's going to do is say, yeah, in the best interest of my client, and in the best interest of the rest of the players in the National Football League,
yeah,
we're not playing in those waters, boys. I got to set the tone here. My guy's a unicorn, all right? I got to make sure I get $45 million for Micah Parsons a year.
At which point, maybe this is another discussion for another day.
You say I'm moving on? You start to dangle that carrot out for the rest of the 31 teams to say, hey, what are your offers?
That is 100% what I do. Not necessarily a reflection on Micah Parsons, but a reflection of how the management has put together this team, especially salary-wise, and how far away I think we are.
Has this, and Kevin, you're so much better with numbers in the cap than I am. I do wonder, is this kind of how the Cowboys have always done business? Aren't they always kind of a very top-heavy roster? They're giving a select few players the majority of the pack.
Okay. And that is true, but the reason why I hate it this time around is because they waited to pull the trigger on Micah and Dak and honestly, and on CD, and haven't been able to take advantage of the explosion in the salary cap. Because I know people are going to be like, oh, it's just going to keep going up and up and up, and sooner than later, you're going to get like a $400 million salary cap. Maybe so, but you haven't reaped any of those benefits. Mm-hmm. Like, if you would have taken care of CD, not last season, but the season before when you could have, he would have come in at what, 31, 32?
Right.
All right. So that we're going to save about $3 to $4 million right there. All right. Dak Prescott, same thing. If you'd have done it before, maybe you could have come in at 53, 55. All right. So now you're saving another $5 to $7 million. So we're like $8 to $11 million, give or take. Micah Parsons, let's just say he ends up being at 43. That might be conservative. Maybe you could have gotten that done at 36. That's another $7 million. And so what frustrates me is the Cowboys, and I know the salary cap keeps going up, and I'm not against having like really good players at the top of it, but in my estimation, you have about $18 million per year that you have squandered with the timing of all of this. As soon as you saw the cap explode, you should have been moving. Or Steven Jones really has a good pulse on the cap. I really think he does. I know people like to bash him, and sometimes I understand that. But for when it comes to the cap, I think he's got a good idea of what the cap's going to do. I don't know when Micah came out and said, I want to get this done now, how they didn't make that move knowing what was about to happen to the cap. So how much money were they going to save? Doesn't matter anymore.
That's a good point, because they always say they're open for business. And sometimes they'll even say, hey, we're waiting for somebody to, they know we're available. Go ahead and pick up the phone. As soon as you hear Micah Parsons say that, I think you have to immediately pick up the
phone.
Because you're right. It's frustrating as a Cowboys fan that they always sit back and it's the deadlines making deals. No, you need to get ahead of this stuff, because why? Exactly what you just illustrated. Even saving $3-4 million here, if you do that for Tyler Smith, if you do that for Deron Bland, if you did that with Dak and CeeDee Lamb, now all of a sudden what? That's $10 to $15 million dollars of extra money.
That's at least a whole nother starter.
That's Dre Greenlaw. Or name whatever player you wish they had have gotten.
Yes, that they didn't. And now I know I can't say always, because they came out ahead on the OSA negotiation per where a lot of people thought they were going to. And I get that. But is there any question that if this goes all the way through, Mike is going to get what he wants?
No, I don't think there's any doubt. They're going to eventually say, much like with the Zeke stuff, and you name the player,
Zeke, CD, Dak.
He's going to get what
Zach
he wants.
Martin, like, that's how it's going to play out. And so it would be different if the deadline making deals, if let's go back to the Dak Prescott contract and they're like, oh, they got him at 53. That's less than Tua. Hey, all right. Or they got CD. Oh, 32. That's $3 million less than Jefferson. All right. But that's not whatever happens. That is not never because OSA. Very rarely do you get the Cowboys deadline deal that you're like, hey, we really won that thing.
And that's because they finally found an agent that they felt like they can win here. This is an agent that's not going to say no to us. And you've got a player that wants to stay with the Cowboys and is okay with taking a little bit less.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the player that maybe you would have wanted to sign. I don't know if this counts, but a lot of people talked about Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, 3 years, $45 million with the Seattle Seahawks. So him and DeMarcus Lawrence can go win all of the championships together, apparently. Was that a player you would have considered, or did you always know the number would be around this and that's prohibitive for somebody who has missed a lot of time?
I had heard that the Cowboys were always out on Cooper Kupp, even if the price dropped. And at $15 million, they were definitely never in. Yeah. The receiver that I'd like for them to go and add is Keenan Allen. I think Keenan Allen would fit very nicely with CeeDee Lamb, 6'2", big-bodied receiver. If you watched him in Chicago last year, still very productive, good route runner. To me, and I said it on Love of the Star, which you can go ahead and check out, Odyssey Podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcast with myself, Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broaddus. We'd love you to give that a listen. But he's also, like, not the diva mentality kind of guy. Like, he's cool with his role. He understands where he is at this stage in his career. Cowboys have a lot of younger receivers they're trying to bring along here and groom as well. I think he'd help in the locker room with that. So out of the guys available that I don't think are going to be overly expensive, sign me up for Keenan Allen.
Instead, the Cowboys in the short term, well, we got Paris Campbell. So go ahead and pencil Paris Campbell in to play for the Commanders in 2026, because in 2023, played for the Giants. 2024, played for Philadelphia, which means he's a Super Bowl champion, despite catching 6 whole passes in 5 games for 30 yards. This year, he will be with the Dallas Cowboys, so next year, get ready, Commanders. But he has the one thing that the Cowboys love above all else. Some people will say low cost, disagree. Used to be a high draft pick, second round pick in 2019 to go along with the, I think, 4 former first round picks. Zach, on a scale of not at all to maybe a little bit, how excited are you about Mr. Campbell coming to town?
It's a sexy pick.
It is not.
That would be a not at all, Kevin. A not at all, because you just told us exactly what he did last year on a Super Bowl champion roster, and that was nothing.
On the flip side, I do think some people are upset about this. The writing was on the wall. Cooper Rush, 2-year, potentially $12.2 million deal with the Ravens, but it includes $4.2 million guaranteed. So I know some people might be viewing it more as like a 2-year, $4.2 to $6.2 million deal. What do you think about the potential money that he got with the Ravens, and do you think that the Cowboys should have kept him as opposed to draft and develop?
No, not for that price. I'm so happy for Cooper Rush. Go out there, get your bag. You deserved it. You earned it. But isn't this a weird deal? Because if you lose Lamar Jackson and now you're... I mean, there are so many similarities between Lamar Jackson and Cooper Rush's games. I mean, Cooper Rush is so dynamic.
They're both quarterbacks.
With his legs. They're going to have to totally change the game plan up. But that is a team that when Lamar Jackson is not played, they have just completely fallen apart. So we've seen Cooper Rush be able to kind of just be steady and execute, and unless he's playing the Eagles, not turn the football over. It's just a weird backup to have for Lamar Jackson if you want to just kind of keep the same style of offense.
A couple more quick hits for y'all. Kyle Juszczyk is back with the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco 49ers moved on from Jordan Mason. He got traded to the Minnesota Vikings. And then, did you see the out in the Sam Darnold contract where it's essentially a 1-year, $37.5 million deal, and then Seattle can move on if they feel like it?
Smart move for Seattle. Very well done with that roster.
If, let's say that he has another really good season, then do people believe in him? Or are you still like, I saw what happened at the end of last season?
If he has another good season, then I think, okay, now you've solidified yourself as he is a good starting quarterback.
Okay.
But it's just, okay, when you get into the final game of the season and the division's on the line and you play terribly, and then the next week it's actually the playoffs and you play terribly.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, against good teams in games that matter, do you now have Dak Prescott syndrome?
Fair question. I don't know what.
Should I not have said that?
You should not. I don't.
I'm so upset that I just am living in this world. I used to fight that too. I used to be so against it, but I can't fight it anymore. I think it's reality.
So he might finish second in the race for MVP.
He might. He might finish second for runner up for MVP and then be one and done in the playoffs.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we can talk about Mav 76ers if you really, really want. But what I actually want
to talk about
Quentin
Grimes.
No, you don't want to talk about that.
He's still a Maverick.
Will Dallas fans heed PJ Washington's request? Next on The Fan.